Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is some of the best audio we found online. Brady on rookie QBs. By the way, Tom Brady did a big interview with Stephen A. Smith on stage. I don't know what that was. It looked like a live podcast or something last night. Don't really care what it was, but it was basically a Stephen A. Smith extravaganza. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady answered some questions that made me go, this guy is going to be very good as an analyst and a broadcaster. Thoughtful, just said things that were smart. I don't know if he's going to get the timing down right away or the in-game part of it. The broadcasting part of it has to come, but Tom Brady is going to add a lot as just a football thinker in this industry. But this was Brady on rookie quarterbacks.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like at Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason and training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level. So they're just going to teach them where they're at.
A lot in that clip, but the juxtaposition between a football program and a football team in college, I thought that was brilliant. I loved it. I also can't help but think about Jaden Daniels and, to a lesser extent, Bo Nix. Two guys who are older as rookies who played in college forever, in Nix's case, and almost forever in Daniels' case. Two guys who have been at multiple programs and had to learn multiple offenses from multiple coaches and really did basically develop over time rather than just being prospects who are now 21 and drafted and ready to play in the league. But I thought that was a really, really smart point about, I went to a football program.
Yep.
Now you go to a football team.
It's a contrast I hadn't thought of before, but I understand exactly what he meant after he kind of gave his follow-up and explanation there. I tend to agree in large part. The guys have gotten faster and stronger and quicker. And, you know, it used to be it was crazy if there was a 300-pound lineman, they would feature it. John Madden would go on and on about how this guy was 300 pounds. Now high school kids are 300 pounds, and it's normal that, you know, in everybody's conference and division, there's a half a dozen guys that are that big. Just the world is changing in that regard. And I know that the concepts and ways people view certain things is really advanced, and I have all these different trends and things like that. But the game has changed. I do think it's dumbed down to a degree. And the positive way that we think of it, like, there's a lot of Saturdays on Sunday now. Well, there was a reason there used to be such a huge dividing line. Yeah, part of it was guys started to throw more at lower levels. But the other part is the idea that you'd put your quarterback in harm's way when he's going to be in harm's way anyway, just being in the pocket, seems crazy, like a crazy concept for so many different years. But now it's commonplace. If you don't have a guy that can make plays off schedule, do you even have a guy, bro? I mean, that's kind of where the league is at this point. So I think there's a lot to that. But the thing, the only counter I would offer is sometimes someone can. Sometimes a rookie is really good, and you could just play that guy. There's no hard and fast rule.
How about this from Tua Tagovailoa? He was talking about Brian Flores. He was on Dan Lebatard's show. And Tua, in discussing Brian Flores, his former head coach, talked about what it was like to, in his words, kind of get beaten down by your coach and start doubting yourself. And I think this goes beyond football, whether this is exactly how Flores treated him, who kind of took some issue with it today at the podium, or not. the idea that being built up is better than being torn down by leaders is something I think a lot of us can resonate with.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
Tua on Brian Flores. Pretty damning. Now, Flores is very popular in the Vikings building with defensive players who took his back here, as they've spoken the last couple of days. And I don't even really care to get into the Flores part all that much. It's kind of a he said thing. But I even think as a parent, you know, that this is thought-provoking. This is interesting. When my son is being annoying at night and not going to bed and coming out saying, I need water, I need Sweetie Pug, I need my blanket, I didn't get enough to eat, I need... I need mom, you know, whatever it is, for this 18th time that he comes out, rather than, hey man, you got to do, like, you're terrible at this. Like, what are we doing here? The time that he goes to bed, the praising, the over the top, you're the best going to bed guy. Like, just the positivity over the negativity, I think generally for people brings out a lot.
Yeah. But the other thing I would not counter with, but also add, is everybody's different, right? Some people need the stick. Some people need the carrot. Some are in between. If that was interpreted as like personal insults and burying you and knocking you down, then I'm sure that probably wasn't a great relationship between the two guys. And Brian Flores had some comments as well that I actually thought were moving and heartfelt as kind of a response. Didn't take any shots. I thought it was very well delivered. But, you know, some guys, you know, thrive on that. Like, you tell Michael Jordan he can't do something, well, watch how it gets done. You tell Tom Brady he can't do something, watch how it gets done. That's not how Tua is wired, and that's okay. Everybody's, you know, different. I mean, there are different learning styles, different playing styles, what people need. I think it's up to the coach to bring out the best in every player. Sounds like Flores didn't do that with Tua. I mean, just again, kind of according to Tua's statements. But there's a thing that happens a lot of times, too, with kids, just to be on my soapbox for a second, is they treat coaching as a personal insult. In other words, like, and I know it happens sometimes with my own kids, but even others, where I'm going, like, hey, buddy, like, try to, you know, whether it's my son or someone else, hold your hands a little bit higher. Instead, they're down here by your waist. Throw them up by your shoulder. That'll give you a better chance to hit the ball. And they take it as like a personal insult that, like, they're not good or they're messing up or something like that. So, no. These are coaching points. That can be hard for kids to learn at times.
All right. Julian Edelman is now an analyst as well. I'm old enough, like you are, Danny, to now know all the analysts as guys whose careers I watch. That's where we are. Used to just be, he's the old guy who talks about football on that channel. Now it's like, oh, I remember that catch Julian Edelman made. Oh, I remember when Brady threw that touchdown. Most of them are former Patriots as well, so figure that one out. Julian Edelman, though, is this a swipe at Lamar? I'd say yes.
I've learned my lesson. I'm never betting against the Chiefs again, okay? I will never bet against them. I lost a lot of money, but it's not up to the Chiefs. We all know what the Chiefs are. They got Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Spagnuolo, Chris Jones, and everyone. It's up to everyone else. We need to see a Joe Burrow come out and do something, stay healthy, start fast. You need to see Lamar Jackson, who's been on a milk carton in the playoffs. So he's missing.
Milk carton in the playoffs, he's missing. As you can imagine, I think there are some Ravens fans who probably didn't take all that well to that comment. That was via Fox. He was talking to Carissa Thompson on the sideline before a preseason game the other night. But I think it's fair to say that Lamar has struggled and that his production has not been as good in the playoffs. I don't do the he can't play in the playoffs, that guy can't hit in October thing. I think that's all silly. It's a sample size issue. It just hasn't happened yet. It's not like there's a certain month of the year where Lamar can't play quarterback or A-Rod can't hit or something. All of a sudden, A-Rod went crazy in 2009. The Yankees won the World Series, and then he could hit in the playoffs. But I think it's just irrefutable right now to say that he has come up small from time to time in the postseason, including last year when he struggled at home in an AFC championship game against Kansas City. But to say it that way, I thought, like, he was the only guy you took a shot at individually there. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about teams. You reference Burrow needing to start fast. But then it's like, to me, it's the Ravens have not played well enough. If one of Lamar's receivers doesn't fumble at the goal line last year, that game might go
they're tied
a little bit differently. So I don't think it's just a Lamar Jackson point, although I understand at quarterback, that's how it often ends up.
It is so interesting to me that, and we've talked about this a bunch, I'm not saying Edelman specifically, but just in general, there's this waiting for the Ravens to lose, as everybody has done to the Chiefs, except for the Patriots when the overtime rules were stupid. Everybody has lost to the Chiefs. Nobody beats Mahomes and company. One time it happens, right? So because they haven't done it yet, and maybe they'll never do it because Pat Mahomes is probably the greatest ever, and he's just walking among us right now, throwing behind the back passes in preseason, hanging out. Doesn't even matter who his receivers are. They won a Super Bowl. Doesn't matter. But because they haven't done it, people are waiting, and as soon as the Ravens lose, it's like, I told you that you couldn't do it with Lamar. Josh Allen doesn't get the same treatment. Joe Burrow doesn't get the same treatment. I know they went to a Super Bowl, but it's...
I would disagree a little bit. I think Burrow does not, who got to a Super Bowl. Allen certainly does. That's been a huge talking point. Peyton Manning got crap forever because he only had won one Super Bowl or hadn't won a Super Bowl.
Or hadn't won it yet.
People still joan on Aaron Rodgers as a playoff loser and wait till he plays San Fran. That guy's got a ring, and he only has one ring. Who cares about the MVP?
Because enough deposits have happened for Rodgers where now it's a different narrative. But for whatever reason, I feel like maybe I'm looking for it. I don't know, but it's hard to – I'll point it out next time I see it. But there's this partly because the playing style is so unique and so different, partly because what Jackson does as a two-time MVP, the expectations are out of whack to me, I guess, is my only point.
There is something to – I think we'd be remiss if we acted like the playing style isn't in factor in some way. It's like a quarterback – who runs as much as he does has never won a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so there is this, like, can you do it this way thing, which is probably silly and ridiculous. Of course you can. It just hasn't happened yet. But I would just disagree on the Allen part. I think he has been vilified as a playoff loser, which isn't fair because he just runs into Mahomes. But
like
Lamar
has
actually legitimately struggled in a lot of these games. 14 of 29 in a playoff game, 48% lost. 31 of 59, 52%. As a favorite against the Titans with two picks, lost. They got eliminated at Buffalo. They lost 17-3. He threw for 160 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. Then you go back to last year against the Chiefs, 54% complete, one touchdown, one pick. And remember the weird thing last year? He just stood in the pocket and, like, refused to run?
Well, it's like so whoever was in charge of that, I don't know if it was him, I don't know if it was the OC, I don't know what that was. That was like
Todd Monken.
Yeah,
maybe?
We'll show you. We'll do it this way. And I'm going, oh my God, stop doing that. Stop doing it that way. What a huge mistake you're making.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday was the four-year anniversary of Tom Brenneman saying something terrible on television. He got caught on a hot mic coming back from break. It became apparent that had gone out over the air, and it was a bad enough, like, irresponsible enough thing that he was obviously going to lose his job and he was going to be fired. And now you have the awkward rest of the game where you have to acknowledge what happened, knowing that you're probably going to be fired. And 4 years later, he's finally resurfaced, getting to do a little bit of stuff here or there. But, I mean, he was a network-level broadcaster, and his career was pretty much over at that moment. But it was 4 years ago, and it still gives so much internet shtick to the fact that every time Nick Castellanos homers, it seems like there's something big going on or something terrible going on in the world. But just the audio will never not be amazing of his mid-apology talking about the awful thing that just happened that ruined his life and his career's over. And then Castellanos hits a homer and he has to discuss it with zero excitement.
I shouldn't be laughing.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I'm going to apologize.
And he didn't put on that headset for a long while.
That's one of those where I know I'm not supposed to laugh.
Correct.
I cannot help it.
Well, the internet has been laughing for a few years. Because, I mean, Castellanos, for people that don't know, like, there is now a bit where the next one, I think, they were talking about a charity or something and someone who had passed away and he hit a home run. And it was just like...
Yeah, and there's a drive by Castellanos.
Anytime in a game where he's playing, the new rule is, if he's at the plate, you can't do the serious thing, man.
Right.
You can't have the conversation about the...
Let's hold off on the disaster relief.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, Castellanos knows what you're doing. This is a little harder to hear. If it doesn't work, I'll pull out of this one. But Peyton Manning gave his top five quarterbacks, which I think is pretty interesting. We've never heard him rank his current QBs.
Quarterbacks need to be coached hard. And Andy Reid coaches Patrick Mahomes hard. And that's good for Patrick. That's bad for NFL defenses, right? So
that's number one.
Patrick Mahomes, number one. That rankings are so hard. You get in so much trouble. You get mad about that. I'm a big fan of Joe Burrow. Right? I'm glad to see him. I'm glad to see him back healthy. Right? I like the way he carries himself. I like his demeanor out there. He doesn't sweat. He doesn't flinch. Right? He's just kind of calm and cool the whole time. This Justin Herbert is as talented as anybody. He can throw it a mile. He can throw it a mile. Harbaugh, you know, like I said, the Broncos division is going to be tough. I mean, Lamar Jackson does things that just don't seem possible with the football in his hand. He makes throws, he runs, and he's smart about, you know, he protects himself too, right? I mean, look, I never could run, so I never had that problem, right? But, you know, the thing we were talking about earlier, quarterbacks, you know, they like to run. You still got to find a way to get out of bounds or get down and be there on the next play, right? If you get hurt, I mean, look, defenses... If the quarterback, you know, gets hurt, they're probably going to win that game. Right. So I love the way Lamar carries himself. I think he'll have a great year this year.
One more.
I mean, this is like I said, Josh Allen's
Mahomes, Burrow, Herbert, Lamar, Allen. I don't know if he was ranking them, but those are the five
guys
quarterbacks that Peyton Manning named. Speaking of former NFL quarterbacks. You know how many times we talked about whether Washington was going to bring in Cam Newton? Apparently, we weren't alone in wondering that. When Ron Rivera was here, all the Panthers brass was here. It seemed like a no-brainer with Cam not having a job and them having quarterbacks in flux at the position, you know, that wasn't solved. Cam apparently was sitting by his phone waiting year after year for the Commanders to call. Now, this was Cam recently talking about this on his podcast.
Cam, why do you think Ron Rivera never called you to Washington? And what did... you all say to each other during the halftime in your first game back with Carolina?
I don't know. It hurt me, though.
Mm. Did you think you was going to get that?
Yeah. I said, at the bare minimum, Washington to come with me. It wasn't just Ron Rivera. It was damn Marty Herney.
Oh, okay.
It was Ryan Vermillion. Everybody. It was Panthers reincarnated in Washington. Did not get no call?
No interest. Have y'all ever spoke about that?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. I don't know why. But I don't know whether I was hurt or whatever. It with me, though.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm not gonna be one of these dudes like, hell no. Like, you got this coach of the year. On not just you alone, but with your help.
Yep.
We started the 2013 season 1-3, finished 12-4. Coach of the year. Of course, you've been through the, you know,
struggle.
Been through the struggle with him.
I'm surprised with that mindset he didn't reach out to Ron at some point.
Like, yeah.
Hey man, you gonna throw your guy a bone here? But just a trip down memory lane on the Commanders when he's like, It was damn near.
Because it wasn't just Ron Rivera.
Panthers reincarnated. Like, we remember.
No, we know.
You have a pretty good Patrick Mahomes impression. Travis Kelce apparently also has a Patrick Mahomes impression.
This is good.
After Mahomes talked about that the behind-the-back throw he made to Kelce wasn't an actual play. It was just kind of schoolyard ball, which clearly wasn't the case. It was a real play. Kelce was asked about that on the sideline on the Chiefs preseason game.
Patrick said that the behind-the-back pass was improvised. That wasn't a play. What do you have to say?
It wasn't a play. No, it was a play. It was a first down. You know, he's got the voice thing, and so he kind of mumbled out the play. I couldn't hear it. I was walking up to the line. I was like trying to decipher what he was saying. Before I knew it, he snapped the ball, and then I kind of saw him out of my peripheral run to the sideline. So I was trying to go help my guy out. By the time I looked over there, he was already in mid-form, like a photo on a sports card, throwing the ball to me. So it was just, I guess, right place at the right time.
Danny, how do you feel about the Kelce Mahomes impression?
Really good. He's got the right thing, because what most people do is they start going Kermit the Frog, right? They start doing that, and they're like, that's Mahomes. He has the gravel part of it, right? So obviously, if you want to start doing Pat Mahomes, you got to get down a little bit lower, and some of the words and letters that come out are harder. Like that, you hear that part of it? Like, he's got the Kermit plus the gravel. He's doing that. He's like making the sound.
Voice thing.
You hear it? Like, it's like, what? Like, hey Travis, what does an electric razor from the 1990s that plugs into the wall, what does that sound like? Like, you hear that? You want to do Mahomes, you got to be a Norelco from 93.
Okay, then it's good tips.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the coaching point.
Uh-huh.
Finally, Raheem Morris did not play Michael Penix in preseason game 2. He's not going to play in preseason game 3. I now officially have no idea what's going on with the Falcons.
I don't know what they're doing.
Penix plan. To draft him didn't make sense, but at least maybe you got your quarterback of the future. You go 1 or 2 years with Cousins, and then you turn things over to Penix. Maybe. But you want him to get reps. The only way he can do it is in the preseason, except that they already shut him down in the preseason, and Raheem was asked why.
Last week, we wanted to get him out there and get a feel for what he was in live game, which we kind of already knew. Wanted to see him be able to answer questions, talk about it on the sideline, go out there and execute, make mistakes, and know what to do. Like when he looked the wrong way, getting right to the check down. He did a lot of those things a lot, but it took a hit last week, should have changed the protection. He's able to clearly communicate those things. I mean, we've seen enough last week of Michael Penix and the live stuff, and now we had the chance to mitigate him in practice. And you know, we give him a bunch of live stuff out there in practice that you do everything that you would do in a game other than get hit. But you know, we feel really good where we're at with Michael. We feel really good where we're at with the other guys that we set, and we treated that the same way. But Mike showed us last week enough that we don't have to play him in the preseason.
Wow. I'm just a very curious way to go about your backup quarterback, who, if your plan goes accordingly, right, won't be on the field this year. I do love Raheem Morris, though. I'm rooting for him. He was an awesome guy to get to know here when he was with the Commanders.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.